In 2007, the editors of the Oxford Junior Dictionary took the decision to remove around about 50 words associated with nature and the countryside from their dictionary aimed at seven-year-olds. In 2012, when the dictionary was reprinted, it was noted that these words were still excluded, and those words include words like hamster, heron, lark, magpie, newt, and perhaps the one that most people are aware of, wren. In 2015, 28 authors, including Margaret Atwood, Andrew Motion, Michael Morpurgo, and Robert McFarlane, described the removal of these words as shocking and poorly considered in the light of the decline in outdoor play for today's children. The authors suggested that in removing the words, the editors were not encouraging children to be inquisitive and search out the object in the natural world. They were not encouraging physical as well as mental well-being. At that time, there was no intention for another dictionary to be printed. However, a spokesperson for the Oxford University Press defended the omission by suggesting that dictionaries were designed to reflect language rather than prescribe certain words for usage. The junior dictionary was to be seen as an introduction to language, and the primary dictionary, designed to see children through to the age of 11, included the words related to nature, including those that had been omitted from the junior dictionary. It's a bit of a storm in a teacup, but it was revisited again at the beginning of this year when one of the writers, Robert McFarlane, published a book entitled The Lost Words. And it's a beautiful book that contains pictures and poetry about each of the words that has disappeared from the dictionary. Illustrated by Jackie Morris, McFarlane takes the words that are missing from the junior dictionary and explores them through poetry. He describes it as a spell book, attempting to enchant childhood experience with nature. Perhaps the most powerful enchantment by nature this year, though, was cast by the programme The Blue Planet. The powerful photographic imagery drew people into a relationship with living creatures and the force of the sea, and it voiced the catastrophe that's waiting because of humanity failing to recognise wastefulness and lack of connectivity to the world in which we live. It's not just words missing from a dictionary, but instead thought missing, as time, leisure, and convenience have become significant in the way in which people choose to live. This morning, as Rosie said, we are entering a period of time called creation time. It began yesterday and it's going to continue until the 4th of October. And it's urging churches to focus on creation, consider sustainable lifestyles. It's an opportunity to pause from everyday life and contemplate the fabric of life into which we're woven. The writer of Song of Songs captures the connection between the creation and the individual throughout that book. As we listen, we struggle to work out whether the words tell a passionate love story of human beings, or the story of the love for the landscape, or the story of the passion that humanity shares with the divine being. There's certainly lust and eroticism contained even within what we hear today, and a sense of the fertility of youthful passion. The text, however, also draws on and echoes the stories of creation in Genesis and reminds humanity of the purpose of stewardship, of co-stewardship. The author paints an idyllic portrait of Earth's generosity, the seasons turn, bringing rain that gently encourages flowers and fruits. The fertility of spring leaps from the words. It's encouraging those who listen to fall in love with the landscape of creation, And so the verses are full of images associated with the natural world. An invitation to look at the land around, bringing the created world to life with detailed descriptions of nature from climate factors, noticing the seasons, watching the blossoms and the fruits. Perhaps with that text ringing, the wonderful thing about focusing on creation time in autumn is that our created world offers an invitation to explore and encounter the changing nature of the world just outside our door. In the season of the possibility of gathering fruits from the hedgerows, we are invited to fall in love with the creation again. Of course, the animal world is not excluded from creation in Song of Songs. In using the animated life along with the growing life, the boundary between living, breathing and growing blurs, and the wholeness, the integrity of creation is woven together. All are equal and equally loved in the hands of the Creator. As you hear the first chapter of James, there's a little bit of a moment when you think, well, I can see creation within the first text, but I'm not sure about the second text. But it serves as an introduction to the whole of the book of James. In what we read this morning, there's a little bit of knowing what it means to be a child of God and not a child of desire, of seeking after God's justice rather than being hot-headed, of hearing and responding to God's word. Rather than focus on the wholeness of creation, James instead looks at the wholeness of the human being, the integrity of the person. These are words that ask us to consider whether the faith of our heads has become the faith of our hands and hearts. It's not an invitation to be passive, accepting the way things are, or accepting the injustices of the world. While James counters against fiery words, that's a warning about temperament rather than a willingness to accept injustice. This morning, as I was getting ready to come out, I had the BBC News on and it seemed to almost fit. This morning's news had pictures of what gets left behind after a festival has happened. And so there were fields with inexpensive tents still up and bottles scattered that looked like people were still there, but we're now at least 2 or 3 weeks away from each of these festivals. And all of these belongings have been left, cast aside. And it's images like that. I did get frustrated this morning because the reporter said this is a sign of young people's throwaway society. Well, I know people who go to these concerts, and they're my age, and that's not young. But it's images like that and others that have become a variety of sparks, igniting the realisation that the reliance on plastic and the culture of throwaway has to be challenged. The Blue Planet, while beautifully filmed, did not shy away from showing the harm that the current way of living was having on the wide spectrum of nature. Of course, others have been affected by other films, and another one that's perhaps worth watching is The Plastic Ocean. The changing weather patterns of recent years have also begun to highlight how our environment is changing. The dramatic temperature highs and lows of this year will be played out on our supermarket shelves over the next few months as some fruit and vegetables have limited availability. We've told you that James Daw, who's part of this congregation, his daughters are part of the Sunday school, we'll be undertaking a review of the single-use plastic across the life of the congregation. If you're part of an organisation, he may turn up. He may be at the shop having a look. He's going to hang out in the vestry. I'm dreading where else he might hang out, as long as it's not my house. He's got a real passion for this, and he's going to tell you about that passion, so I don't want to take away from that. However, In his search to rediscover the connectivity to creation, he's begun to think about ways in which to make a small difference. And for him, that small difference has begun with changes to their own family usage. A Facebook page drawing together others who want to make a difference. If you're on Facebook and you want to have a look, it's called Plastic Free Dunfermline. And he and a number of others are now sharing advice on how they can change just ordinary things to make life different. There's been beach cleans and park cleans, talks in schools. And while James might not describe it as this way, or those he's working with won't describe it in this way, it's all about falling back in love with the world that God made and finding ways to demonstrate that love. As I was listening to the text, the second text this morning, there was a line from it that came hurling back to me, because it's a line that I used to see every Sunday morning as I left the pulpit to go to the front door to say goodbye to the congregation. In St. Anne's, around the building, carved into the stonework, are Bible passages to encourage the congregation and the minister in the various activities of congregational life. And I can't remember what they all are because I'm not very good. But over the pulpit, over the organ, there was one to encourage you to sing well. Over the pulpit, there was one to encourage the minister to preach well, but also one for the congregation to listen well. There were ones about prayer up the centre aisles. But at the back of the church, across the back wall, it said, "Be ye doers of the word." Every Sunday morning, as the congregation and the minister went to leave the building, they were reminded that what they had heard and what they had been involved in worship was to become part of their lives. They weren't just to be passive soakers in of the story of God, but to become the outpouring of God's love for the world in which they lived, as they were told to be doers of the word. It's a reminder that in faith we are to recognise that we are but one part of a whole, and that in living out the whole of our faith, in having integrity about our faith, our actions and words must respond to our understanding of God's love for us. We've tended to focus that love on our response to people. But perhaps that love should also focus on the ecosystem that supports those people. As we think about falling in love with the landscape again, what changes might we make to recognise our love? We encourage the use of fairly traded goods so that we support the earning capacity of particular groups of people. Perhaps if we're to fall in love with our landscape again, we should be thinking about how we shop, shopping locally. If we love our planet, rather than decorating it with our cast-offs, we should be marvelling at the beauty that God has created and allowing it to bring out the best in us. How will we be doers of the word from today? Rosie and I are going home to list what plastics we use. There are simple changes we can make. If we're to fall in love, what will you change? Amen.